You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Not all roads lead to New York or Toronto, and not all religions lead to the true God.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, you alone are Lord, and there is no other. You extend your love and mercy to all people, regardless of race or economic background. We beg of you, Heavenly Father, lead us to yourself. By your Spirit, show us your Son. Open our ears to the words of your Son, our Savior, as he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In the Redeemer's powerful and intercessory name we pray. Amen. A popular actor and a star in the well-known movie All Quiet on the Western Front stated, "If I could live life over again, I would not be an actor." Instead, he said he would study philosophy and religion. In his opinion, the study of religion is important because, as he pointed out in a newspaper interview, we need to look at religion in new ways. And in order to put into action what he believed to be correct, this well-known actor began an extensive speaking tour and showed an interesting and provocative movie called Altars of the World. The 2.5-hour film examines many of the world's religions. During these presentations, he emphasized his opinion that every religion is a path to spiritual understanding. He proclaimed that no one religion is better than another. Each, he said, has its own value. The opinion of this movie star is not unique. Frequently, people are heard to say, "It makes no difference what you believe, as long as you are sincere." Others casually remark, "All religions are equally helpful. They all lead to the same God." These opinions, which are contrary to the basic teachings of the Bible, are today openly expressed in spite of the stern warning of the Lord. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Yes, God is one and he stands alone. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord cautions, "The gods who did not make the heavens and the earth, they are worthless, a work of delusion, and at the time of their punishment, they shall perish." If you are today trusting in astrology and the signs of the stars, if you have been tempted to join some exotic cult, or if you are considering following one of the many religious prophets of today, then listen closely to God's loving call for you as he says, "Turn to me and be saved. I am God and there is no other." Perhaps you are one of those who has been misled to believe that all religions lead to the same God. If so, consider someone telling you that all roads from your home lead to New York, or that all roads from your home lead to Los Angeles or to Toronto. Even the most uneducated individual realizes that this is utterly impossible. Jesus' words are recorded in John chapter 14 when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." No, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this God of the Bible is a jealous God. He becomes upset and angry when people follow other gods and other religions. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaks when he says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." You and I may be tempted to follow other religions and other gods than the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet our Lord is patient. In his mercy, God pleads with us before he sends his judgment. He forgives us and wants us to return to him. His grace and mercy are demonstrated in the Bible, Numbers chapter 21. Listen closely as I retell the story directly from the Bible. One day, as God's people were wandering in the wilderness, they became impatient. They began to speak against God and their leader Moses. They asked, "Why have you brought us to the wilderness to die? There is no food and no water." And so, as a punishment for their grumbling, the Lord sent snakes among the people. The serpents bit the people, and according to the scriptures, many died. But as a result of God's punishment, many were also moved to sincere repentance. They then said to Moses, "We have sinned." They also begged Moses, "Intercede with the Lord for us, so that God may remove the punishment of these snakes from among us." Moses interceded for the people, and as a result, God in his mercy said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Everyone who was bitten by a snake and looks at the fiery serpent shall live." So Moses did as God commanded him, and he made a fiery serpent. He set it on a pole, and all who were bitten and looked at the bronze serpent lived. This historical account may seem utterly ridiculous to some. Yet centuries later, Jesus made a direct reference to it. In fact, the Savior states that in order to provide salvation for sinners, in order for him to provide for your salvation, your forgiveness, and mine, he would also have to be raised up. And this is precisely what took place. Jesus was raised up and crucified on a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And now today, all who look to him and trust in the Savior's sin-cleansing blood can rest assured that their sins are paid for, that they need not fear the day of judgment, and that they can look forward with great anticipation to living with God in heaven eternally. The earth-shattering event of Calvary when Jesus was put to death was not an accident. It was planned from eternity. It is the culmination of God's great act of love. Jesus said, "No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down." And Jesus said, "I have the authority to take it up again." Already days before Jesus was crucified on the cross, he spoke openly and clearly about what had to happen to him so that salvation from sin could be available to you and me. His words are recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I quote, "And Jesus said, 'Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up.'" In verse 15 we read, "that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Verse 16 states, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, the scriptures proclaim, but that the world should be saved through him. In verse 18 we read these words, "He who believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God." Finally, in verse 36 of John chapter 3, the powerful words of Jesus are recorded as he says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. No, don't waste another day. Receive the mercy and forgiveness God is offering you. Take note of what God says in His Word as written in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and I quote, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Don't be like some people in Moses' day who refused to look at the serpent raised on a pole, and as a result they died. Don't refuse to gaze at Jesus raised on the cross for salvation from your sin. And don't grumble like the people in the wilderness. Many today constantly complain about conditions in their lives. Some are convinced their problems exist because they married the wrong individual. Others complain their parents do not understand them. Still others whine because they are not paid well enough in their jobs. No one appreciates their work, and their labor is boring. Let us always remember that God, in His mercy, frequently permits problems and difficulties to arise in our lives to move us to repentance, to stop our grumbling, and to cause us to consider others instead of always thinking first of ourselves. Yes, while there still is time, may I encourage you, honestly and sincerely, to reevaluate your life today. Pour out your sincere feelings to your gracious Heavenly Father. Admit to Him your thanklessness and where you have been wrong. God is waiting to hear your deepest concerns. The people in the desert asked Moses to intercede for them. And today, Jesus is at the throne of God, waiting to intercede for you for the sins and mistakes of your past. No matter what your past sins have been, your Savior desires to remove them from your guilty conscience and to lift your burdens from your heart. The intercessory power of the Redeemer on your behalf is proclaimed clearly in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 7, and I quote, "Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. He always lives to make intercession for them." Yes, follow no other God than the God of the Bible. Trust no other intercessor than the blessed Redeemer. All other pseudo-saviors, all other fickle false prophets, and all other clever cult leaders will receive the reward for their malicious impersonation and sadistic deeds on the day of judgment. Their judgment will be worse than the treatment given to a shipment of counterfeit wristwatches recently intercepted in Los Angeles. The timepieces were being shipped from Switzerland to Mexico when they were seized by customs officials. The inspectors dumped thousands of the counterfeit watches on the pavement. Then they used an 8-ton steamroller to roll back and forth over them. When the steamroller finally stopped, not a wristwatch was ticking. False prophets and religious counterfeiters abound today, but they also shall soon reap the bitter fruits of their deceptive labors. Speaking to false teachers of His day, Jesus said, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell?" With a consistency more perfect than the rising and the setting of the sun, to every generation, God has graciously proclaimed, "Look unto Me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Ladies and gentlemen, who one worships, or whether or not there is one true religion and only one way to God, is unimportant for many today. They simply couldn't care less. As a result, many are rapidly moving to their own destruction. But the seriousness of this matter is powerfully demonstrated in a dramatic account recorded in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18. Listen as I retell the story. Centuries ago, some of the people of God began to follow the false god Baal. The prophet Elijah warned them of their mistake. Yet many of these people felt it made no difference what one believes so long as one is sincere. So Elijah stepped before all the people and asked, "How long are you going to straddle the fence? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, then follow Him." And the Bible states that the people didn't answer him. So Elijah called for a public demonstration to show the people that there is only one God and only one way to know him. He asked that the false prophets prepare a sacrifice, and he would do the same thing. Then he requested the false prophets to call upon their God, and he would call upon his God. The God who answers by fire, Elijah said, he is God. And the people answered and said, that is a good idea. Like many people today, they were anxious to see who the real God is. So the prophets prepared an ox for sacrifice. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But the scriptures point out that there was no voice and no one answered. At noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry out with a loud voice. Perhaps your God is asleep and needs to be awakened. The prophets then cried out with a loud voice. They even cut themselves with swords and lances till blood gushed out of them. But the Holy Scriptures reveal that no one answered and no one paid attention. Then it was Elijah's turn. The people watched with close attention as he built an altar. He poured water over the sacrifice several times. Then he called to the Lord and said, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God. Suddenly the fire of the Lord dropped down from the heavens and consumed the burnt offering. It also burnt up the wood and the stones and the dust. Even the water in the trench around the altar was licked up. The Holy Scriptures reveal that when the people saw this, they were shocked. They fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Ladies and gentlemen, it may seem to make no difference which God or which religion you follow. But don't be deceived. The day is coming when all false prophets and all false religions will be destroyed along with all of their followers. In the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, we read, the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the Holy Scriptures also proclaim, the day of judgment will not be delayed forever. The Bible says it will come as a thief in the night. Turn your eyes to Jesus. See Him raised up on the cross for your forgiveness and your salvation. He Himself bore the sin of many in His body on the tree. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Him. O Lord, extend Thy grace and mercy upon those now following false gods and false religions. By Thy Spirit, draw them to the sin-cleansing wounds of Thy Son Jesus and the only way to salvation. Amen.